watching New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Bweebum, with Rob Springer.
Hey, everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. We are doing this with string and bubblegum, MacGyver style. We've had technical difficulties during recording night. So, New Soundwave may be a little pitchy dog. It may be, you know, a little scrappy tonight. But it's a good show. This week, Capcom, one of our favorite video game makers of them all, had Captivate, which is their annual press unveiling of all their goods and wares for the year or so, and it was a pretty packed show this year. We'll also talk about the Mortal Kombat Legacy webisode. So webisode, call it what you will, number one has been posted to YouTube, and quite a few of us watched it. Our opinions vary, I will say, but we will sink our teeth into it and also discuss just how old is too old to play Sonya Blade.
Are you trying to say a late middle-aged woman cannot play?
Never mind. All I'm saying is I didn't realize Sonya had like three kids and maybe one grandkid at this point.
Well,
I don't know.
What's
is this Mortal Kombat 1 or Mortal Kombat 12?
What's going to happen here is Sonya Blade's going to do her little fire kiss of death, and her back's going to break. She's going,
oh God.
Oh, I threw something.
Nice.
No, she's going to do that scissor kick thing.
She's going to just like die halfway through the air.
She's going to do the little scissor kick thing where she lifts up and like does the, grabs him with
her
the
back.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. One more time. No, I got that.
She's got to get a biofreeze. I need some biofreeze.
Max Freeze is what I use.
Yeah,
nice.
That's what we need for each match. You know, the she's got insure.
And a pack, an icy hot pack.
Oh.
Okay, so let's get to it. So, like I said, Captivate 2011 was this actually about a week and a half ago, but the embargo was lifted Tuesday of this week, the 11th, I believe. Yes, the 12th, actually. And so we got all sorts of good news from Capcom. First of all, for fighting game fans, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, Hyper Edition 3.
Yes,
is going to be released in June 7th. It will be $40 on disc. It'll be a $15 DLC if you already have the game, which most people probably do. Good stuff. Four new characters. It's the twins from Third Strike, from Street Fighter 3, Third Strike, Yun and Yang. Also, Evil Ryu and Oni, which is essentially a supercharged Akuma with, I guess, a significantly different moveset. So he counts as a
and a goatee.
Anyway, I guess the big news about this is, yes, Capcom still does about four variations of Street Fighter before they actually change over the numbers. And it's the end of Street Fighter 4. So apparently they have promised that this is it. No more upgrades.
Didn't they promise that was Super Street Fighter 4, though?
Let's not worry about that.
We don't talk about that, right?
Now. Right. We're not. That's the past, Brian. We're talking about today.
I'm excited about this, though.
I am excited about this too. So, I mean, I think this is well, you know what? It's interesting. So this is an interesting tidbit. So Super Street Fighter 4 is considered one of the most balanced fighters really ever. The difference between the strongest and the weakest character is relatively small. And so you can usually safely say whoever wins and loses, it's based on the skill of the player.
I hate games like that.
Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, which, you know, again, is an upgrade, quote-unquote, to Super Street Fighter 4, is intentionally unbalanced. So the game makers went back and I guess, looked at Super Street Fighter 4, thought it was too balanced, too fair across the board, and they actually made some overpowered and unbalanced characters on purpose because they think, they're of the belief that that creates more conversation and, I guess, more controversy with game players, and that makes them...
And that's good?
Have strong opinions.
I kind of like that, honestly.
I mean, that makes some logical sense from a gameplay standpoint, doesn't it?
I could play all of the mid characters, which are balanced, or I could play this Uber Elite character where all I have to do is like jump through the screen and kick people in the head, and then win.
So, I like playing.
Right, I'm gonna win without even trying.
I like fighting. I like beating the crap out of people who fight with really unbalanced, overpowered characters.
Yes,
like, and I don't like really cheap bosses.
Well, like Quan Chi from like Mortal Kombat 4, where it was like I could beat the game like in my sleep.
Mortal Kombat 4.
Good times.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat 4. It was 3D, dude. It was awesome.
It was three times the gore. Three times the gore.
And all you needed was Quan Chi, and you did this teleport jump, and he kicked you in the head, and then, you know, you win. It was great.
I'm telling you. Good times. Hey, we'll talk about Mortal Kombat actually for our topic, like I said.
Hey, it's like an all together. That's what I'm here for, folks. Connectivity.
Yes. Continuing the fighting game theme. Okay, so at Captivate, they also showed quite a bit of video and disclosed quite a bit of information about Street Fighter X Tekken. No, not versus. It's called Street Fighter X Tekken.
This is the Capcom one?
This is the Capcom one, so it's going to play like Street Fighter. It doesn't look a lot like Street Fighter 4, which is good. It does look very different from Street Fighter 4. It's essentially a mashup with Tekken and Street Fighter characters. More or less in the Street Fighter style. But talking to the game makers, they've already reassured Tekken players that a lot of the gameplay from Tekken has been pulled over, minus the insanely long, like, two-minute combos that Tekken is famous for.
Ten-hit combo. You got to have ten-hit combos.
Well, I mean, I guess, like, King may have his, like, insanely dumb long chain of throws, maybe, but I don't think that's going to be like a rule.
Only five throws. It's not that long.
Well,
I like pepperoni combos.
Once he has, like, what, the reverse surfboard, I'll be happy.
I love Tekken.
That was like the biggest move. That was like, wasn't that like the most powerful move or one of them in Tekken 3, I think? It like capped.
I gave your mom the reverse surfboard.
You mean that was that's the end of the chain on. So,
that's
up there.
So yeah, by the time you got around to the surfboard, not only have your like fingernails grown by half an inch, your opponent's like lost 80% of his life. So okay, so Street Fighter X Tekken is actually going to come out next year. It's a 2012 release. We got a cinematic trailer for it, which I posted in the chat.
I'm watching it now.
Say what now, Brian?
Is this gameplay? This isn't gameplay. This
No. But there is gameplay.
Is gameplay in a commercial for a game?
Yeah. So gameplay is interesting. Actually, before we move to the next story, so this is interesting. As of right now, it is a tag team 2-on-2 fighting game. Unlike some fighting games, though, that do that kind of model, you win the round by depleting. So you've got two characters on each side, two life bars. You win the round by depleting the life bar of one of your opponents. So in theory, somebody could lose the round with plenty of life on one of their characters. They just haven't tagged them in. They just haven't thought to tag them in. Or you just blew up the character that they had on screen, which is interesting. So essentially, it's the first to knock out another opponent. You're one of your opponents, and you don't have to like deplete both life bars, which is kind of interesting.
Isn't that how pro wrestling works? I mean, essentially,
yeah, it's exactly how wrestling works.
It's exactly like it.
Okay.
The nerd in me is like really going crazy watching this trailer. I'm actually, my heart's beating a little bit fast, and it's not the Rockstar Recovery.
It's not the Four Loko that you confiscated.
No, I want to put it, it's pretty bad.
Oh, Four Loko.
Actually, right now, before we move on, just so here's a lesson. Here's why you should listen to New Soundwave Live. I'm posting 8 minutes of gameplay footage from Street Fighter X Tekken, and it's only exclusively for our live listeners because they can't find it anywhere else on the internet. It would be impossible. Let's see. Other things before we move on with Captivate. Dead Rising 2, off the record, was previewed. So Frank West returns if you're a Dead Rising fan. Resident Evil is back again, this time as a first-person multiplayer shooter, which apparently is cool and fresh, despite it being a multiplayer first-person shooter. Apparently,
so other than that,
yeah,
it's really new and inventive.
Yes. So apparently it translates. I guess it translates very well. And let's not discount the fact that it is Resident Evil, and there's probably a healthy amount of like nostalgia, and you know, a very forgiving fan base with this. But yes, it's going to be multiplayer FPS. You can play as Stars. You can play as Umbrella, and you can probably play as a few other things before they... No zombies yet. No zombies confirmed. That would be awesome to play as a zombie in a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Like, no gun.
We call him Target.
or like, you know, I can take like 100 bullets just down the head.
You take 100 bullets as long as you don't get a headshot, and you can move at like a quarter of the speed of a regular player. That'd be awesome.
Or sometimes four times.
So if your team says like, "Hey, I need backup," I'm getting destroyed over here. Your answer is always, "I'll be there in a minute."
Literally,
I'm on my way.
Literally, I will be there in a minute. And as you move, it makes the sound. It's like clump drag, clump drag, clump drag.
So awesome. Okay, so last week we talked fondly about a Streets of Rage fan remake of the classic Sega beat 'em up, and we actually provided the link to download it. If you did not download it that during that week, you are out of luck, buddy, because Sega has pulled the plug on this beloved fan remake. So if you didn't act fast, well, if you didn't act fast, you couldn't download it from the site that I linked to. If you act really slowly right now, you could probably find it on 100 torrent sites that I can't control. But they're trying. They're trying. So yes, apparently, what has happened? If you weren't with us, then. So
and
last
let's see.
8 years,
and there it is.
Got it. I'm a genius.
Yeah, so that part. So for the last 8 years. A team of what can only be called super fans of Streets of Rage have been remaking the game using every character, every enemy ever in a Streets of Rage game, even creating some enemies based on box art. These are geeks, people. We love them. They're just they've been building the ultimate Streets of Rage game with achievements and all sorts of good stuff. Unfortunately for them, it got a lot of press last week. So much so that Sega took notice and promptly sent them a letter to stop the shenanigans and take down the link to the game, which they did. Fortunately for us, a week on the internet equals a lifetime. It equals forever.
Second on the internet. Like, yeah. You only need like 3 hours on the internet for something to be there forever.
Very true. Very true. So, okay. So why did they take down, beyond the obvious, why did they ask to the Streets of Rage game to come down? So this is what Sega had to say. They said, quote, "Sega is committed to supporting any fans that take an interest in our games. And where possible, we do so by involving them in beta tests and other development, marketing, research opportunities, etc. However, we need to protect our intellectual properties, and this may result in us requesting that our fans remove online imagery, videos, or games in some instances." Online imagery. Let your mind run wild. Sega still has Streets of Rage games on sale, by the way. So, for instance, there are separate console downloads as part of the Ultimate Collection that's on the 360, the PlayStation 3, and PC. So they've already got like a PC version, and God knows that hasn't been pirated. So reaction to the takedown has ranged from anger to just kind of apathy. And some people have requested Sega just sanction this and just like charge like a buck for the download. How about that?
They can't do that.
No, they can't. Well, they could acquire it, couldn't they? I mean, in theory, they could just acquire it and then distribute it.
Yeah, Brian's point, yeah, they could just say it's our IP and we own it.
Right.
This.
I mean, I'm not saying they would have to pay for it per se. Right, right. I'm saying they could acquire it.
Yes.
You know, I understand where Sega's coming from here, but if they really want to make this statement legit, hey, Sega, there is 50 billion Flash versions of Sonic. Get on it.
Yeah.
True that.
So true.
I mean,
hey, last week, the 3DS was outsold by the PSP in Japan.
This that week, was eat it.
The 3DS was outsold by the PSP in Japan. So when a new console launches, you expect it to hit the ground with a big thwomp, a massive, like, here I am.
Not a thunder, right?
Yes. Unfortunately for the 3DS, that has not happened. Not in not in its homeland. So it was released in Japan on the 26th of February. And it's been high on the charts. Don't get me wrong. Okay, so it's been you know, close to the top or right at the top of the charts, except for recently. So it's been humbled by the PSP, which, according to Media Create, which is a company that tracks these things, the PSP sold 58,000 units in late March and early April. The 3DS, meanwhile, sold 42,000, really 43,000. So the PSP, 58,000. The 3DS, 43,000. It's a pretty good stretch. But here is the sobering fact for all of us.
This is so embarrassing.
We can feel bad for our brothers in Japan. It's in large part due to the PSP dating sim, Amagami.
Oh, God.
Woo-hoo. Which is an old PS2 game that's been re-released on the PSP. And so
what you're saying is Nintendo didn't release really the best launch titles possible, just like the first time they released the DS and the DSi and stuff, but, you know, it kind of gained steam. But Sony actually managed to be a threat once they put a game on their console.
Yes.
The dating sim, they're
the dating. And not even a new
not
game.
Just a game. A good time, Rob.
You know, honestly I've been playing my PSP net lately because...
Oh, I thought you were going to confess to playing dating sims.
I've been playing my PSP. I downloaded Capcom Classics Collection Reloaded because I just really wanted to play Street Fighter 2, you know, in a portable system, which I think is great. But, you know, having played Triplets 3DS, I don't, until something comes out that I want to play... which I'll end up turning the 3D all the way off. I don't really need one. The 3D didn't make me sick, but it's really hard to focus and make it 3D. Maybe my eyes are too close together, or too far apart. Or something.
I'm saying
both. I think, Brian.
Yeah, but when I have the 3D all the way up, I get double vision, and right. It just
fill your eyes.
Well, but it's going to come. I mean, it comes down to like the programming, right? I mean, it's having the format is one thing; having something for the format is another.
Well, the double vision comes down to the lenticular. That's not programming related. That's actual physical. So that's how the graphics are split up. So something must be wrong with my vision because I can't focus and see it in 3D without getting double vision, and I don't like that.
I'm saying this is going to be just like the original release of the DS. That thing chugged along for a year till finally hit its stride.
I don't know.
So let some games that utilize it come out.
You think so? Or, I mean, or is this the next Virtual Boy? I mean...
Well, you see, that's just the thing. People said that about the DS first because they're like, what do I need two screens for? What's the touchscreen going to do?
Well,
and it really took a minute to catch on.
Okay, but the difference is that with the two-screen tech... That is a programming issue. That's an issue where you're talking about, can a game come out that can utilize both screens in a way that's interesting and in a way that you need to use it? With the 3D, though, what to Brian's point, how many people aren't going to be able to use the tech properly? Or the benefit of purchasing the product and having the tech is going to be greater than having a regular game. I think we're getting into the discussion again about the value of 3D. And I don't see where there's a value in the 3D vision in a game, whether it's handheld or not, over existing product. And that's where I'm saying, like, is this the next Virtual Boy in the sense that is the tech worth it?
Until the 3D is so that you can turn the screen around and look behind something, it's full.
My theory the whole time is see, the DS 3DS is the upgrade to the DS. It's going to eventually replace it when sales complain because it's more powerful. It's meant to be an upgraded system. Now, the 3D, obviously, it's like the gimmick to get you to buy it. But once it really catches on, I think the 3D is just going to be another way to enhance the graphics, like a because it's really just depth. It's not really that much popping in your face. So I think that's how they're going to utilize it. And it's going to be really people like, well, wow, it really looks good, as opposed to they're not going to stop selling it going, hey,
it's
Star
really,
Wars.
It's really,
you know, they'll stop that.
But I have to say, after playing my PSP more, I don't understand why we need another PSP, because the PSP one looks good enough.
Yeah,
my 2000's fine. Like, I don't feel the need to.
I have a 2000, and that's the one to get anyway. If you can, don't get a 3000. 2000.
It's just plain Sony. Put more games on this thing. It will take off. It's a good system.
There is a ton of games that, but they're not advertised. I mean, there's so many games available on the PlayStation Network. But
it's like,
you know,
once again, it's put them. Let me go to Walmart and get something other than the same old selection.
Street Fighter Alpha 3.
Yeah, it's like, how many times am I going to see the exact same games at the store? You know, they got really, it's handheld mainstream gaming. They've really got to push that retail front still. Grandma's not going to be like, you know, well, you just log on.
And that's the problem, is that Sony is really trying to go to a digital storefront for the PSP. I mean, that's the whole thing with the PSP now, especially with PSP Go, is that because of the dynamics of the system, you don't buy a disc anymore. You download it, which is great for them because they get all the money. But then how do you tell people enough about those products to be interested to go to the store and download them?
Yeah, and it's a real hard sell to say, you know what, this may seem weird, but in 5 years, everybody will be doing it, because the consumer's like, but it's still weird now.
Right.
You know, it's like, I still can't comprehend full digital download now. So there's just like, you know, Sega actually learned this lesson quite a few times, just being like a few years ahead of schedule, so to speak. I mean, you know, you just pay the price for doing that.
Yeah.
It'll take off. I really do believe that. But what's the problem is going to be not the media, because once people get it in their heads, because, you know, the whole on-demand thing's really starting to take off now, where 2 or 3 years ago, you kind of had to explain to people, it's on your cable box. Push that button on the top of the remote. It's really starting to take off. I think the problem is going to be is, once again, we're talking about outside of dorks, making them understand how to make this thing work. How many times have you set up someone's laptop on their own router for them and they couldn't figure out how to make it work? It's like, oh, you just click this button here and select your network. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
I think that's getting over that hump. And, you know, as smart as we want to think our country is, or the whole world, because, you know, I know even in every country's got their idiots can't figure out how to make their cell phone do something other than pocket dial.
Right.
You know, once we get over that hump, it's going to hit off.
I pocket dialed Ant a couple days ago.
I pocket dial Waspy on a daily basis. He's got to be like, who is this? Because I haven't even texted him a new number yet.
Yeah, new number. It's like, I just know it's you because, like, I may be late for the show.
Nice. That's awesome.
Nice. Okay, guys, good stuff. Let's dip our toes into the world of webisodes. Woo-hoo. And an interesting concept that started this week. So Mortal Kombat Legacy is a web series that's being shown on YouTube primarily. It is the result of a cultish following that was created when a short film about Mortal Kombat debuted sometime last year. I think it was last summer or so, maybe even last spring, something like that. It was essentially a short film that just showed up on the internet with very little fanfare. That portrayed the Mortal Kombat universe in a pseudo-realistic manner. So Jax was a cop, and Sonya Blade was a cop. Reptile was this, like, serial killer crazy guy with bad teeth. somewhat trying to add some realism to Mortal Kombat as much as you could. Turned out to be more or less a pitch that a director had made, had kind of cobbled together. And that short film had, you know, some B-level stars in it, Michael J. White. And actually the director, the writer-director, his name was Kevin Tancarone, I believe is how you pronounce his name.
A lot of letters.
So, yes, it was written and directed by him. It got so much attention online that it actually became a web series, a series of about 12-minute episodes, 10-minute episodes that have started to run this week. Starring Jeri Ryan as Sonya Blade, and yes, the aforementioned Michael J. White as Jax. The first episode, if you haven't seen it, cover your ears, run away. here are minor spoilers. 3, 2, 1. So the first episode essentially introduces us to Kano, Jax, and Sonya.
And Stryker.
Primarily.
That's Stryker, isn't it? I think that guy's supposed to be Stryker. Yeah.
It was Stryker, mall cop, who's not a mall cop anymore. He's an actual, like, functional cop. Just bittersweet, I must say. So it introduces us to all of them. Things happen. We are teased that Kano, yes, will lose an eye and wear a crazy mask. And that's really it. You know, it ends with a cliffhanger, of course, as almost all the episodes will surely do. And it gives, gives us our first taste of what's to come. So, guys, I know several of us, including me, saw the episode. So what do we think of this so far? 10 minutes in.
I think the way I described it was that it felt like I was watching the first 5 paragraphs of a mediocre fanfic. Like, it had all of the elements and stuff, like, you know, that you would expect out of something that was trying to be Mortal Kombat, like all the little nods, but the story just seemed really flat. And as Rob pointed out, there's just forced curse words just to be badass. Like, not even logically thrown in. It's just like they picked a point in the script and said, this is where we drop F-bomb. Okay.
And this is where the editor came in and wrote the F-bomb right there in the script.
Yeah.
Insert F-bomb.
This is where Michael J. White says fuck.
That'll be $500 for a consulting fee. Yes. You know, hey, Rob, you also mentioned that it was like, it kind of gave off a sci-fi vibe, like a sci-fi movie type series vibe. I totally agree with that. I will say that I'm somewhat entertained. I think I'm looking forward to the second episode. I guess I want to see where they go with this, but it definitely gave off that level of like budget and feel. I mean, you know, I don't know what other thoughts you had on like the developments and the look of it, but budget wise, seems decent. It seems good enough
for a web series. It's high budget. I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, my only comparison for a web series is like The Guild, and this looks like it has like thousands of dollars at its disposal as opposed to like The Guild or something. So,
yeah, no webcams used in this production.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, they. I mean, the camera work, I mean, for the most part, it does look like it's probably, you know, handheld HDs that you could buy at Best Buy or something. But, you know, and I'm sure that, I mean, even though we make fun of the actors per se, I mean, as far as them being sort of B-list actors, they're not cheap. I mean, Jeri Ryan has a television series that she's on every week, so.
Does she? That's true.
Yeah, she's on, way, I think so. I mean, she's on, what, Burden of Proof or something like that? Yeah, so she actually has a regular gig.
That's nobody ever heard of. Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yes, well.
It's called Arby's.
Jeri Ryan. No offense, Jeri. She's a little old for the
role. You know what? She's a total MILF, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, she is a MILF, but. She should have done this like 15 years ago. Like, that would have been, you know.
It's a character that should be in her 30s, being played by someone in her obvious late 40s.
Even Sonya? I don't know. I put her in her late 20s.
You're right, maybe.
You know, mid to late 20s.
Well, Sonya, original Sonya Blade, yeah. This Sonya Blade, maybe 30s, because she's a somewhat high special officer type, and that takes a little more time to become. So that's why I'm saying maybe early 30s.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for the way that they're portraying it. But yeah, I certainly don't. I don't know. It'll depend on how the rest of the series plays out. And I think that they kind of felt stuck
when Baraka snorting coke off his blades. Mature! but they did hint some goth kid.
They did hint that, like, you know, maybe like Cyrax and stuff would be in it, because I mean, they showed those like
running around like parts. A stormtrooper. That would be awesome.
They would
be awesome if She was just in a yellow stormtrooper outfit. Actually,
they would be a gang of cyber hackers or some cyber bullies that actually know how to fight. Yeah. No, they don't know how to fight. They're just actually kind of a pain in the ass. And you know,
but
Jax, what do we got to do now? Well, we killed Kano. There's these nerds that wear stormtrooper armor. I keep packing to my bank account.
But from a plot standpoint, I was I was a little bit amiss at Kano's plan. I was like, okay, so your plan was that you've captured Sonya and you waited until you'd shift all the parts out, and then you hung around with an equal number of guys to try to take out Jax when they came to what? Why didn't you just blow them up? Like, what? Like, why were you even there? Like, you could have killed Sonya and left and, like, been gone. You know?
You know, when he said, I found your message and transmitted it. It's like, why?
Why? Exactly. I was like, yeah, why?
Really? Yeah. I have been waiting to be caught for so long.
Exactly. He's a shadow ghost figure that's been hiding out for so long that he chose this moment to risk being caught. Why?
And you know what?
Pay off if he like starts spinning in midair like Blanka and flies at somebody in episode 2.
All I'm saying. If I'm a world-level terrorist gangster guy and I got all of this robot stuff at my disposal and guns that shoot goop that explode, I am going to get a better knife to threaten somebody with than the doofy one from the dorky medieval fantasy store.
But that's sort of like the game knife that he has. I mean, that's where I said, like, there's definite nods to the Mortal Kombat universe.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sonya, I got this at Renfest. One of these days I'm going to sharpen it.
Yeah.
Nice. Real nice. Also, I guess I kind of fear, sort of cringe, because you know somebody's going to say fatality at some point.
You know it's coming.
I wonder, how are we going to do that?
Somebody's going to yell fight, and yes. Then somebody's going to say fatality. But that's just going to be so forced in that...
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know what will happen? The webisode will come up. And then at, like, the 8-minute mark, they'll say fatality. And around the world, you'll hear a collective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be the episode where they shoehorn the fantasy stuff in. Like, really.
That's going to be interesting. I hope it's just, like Shang Tsung is, like, just this real, like, bombed out crack addict or something, and so he's just, like, hallucinating all this stuff. Like,
I don't even think we'll get there. I think we'll be lucky if we get Scorpion and freaking
Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero, thank you.
I am so full this fight.
And they're supernatural.
I'm waiting for them to, like, we've got this giant hillbilly mongoloid from the woods. His name is Goro.
Yeah.
And he has like a tattoo of two other arms under his arms or something.
Yeah, there you go. That, or he's got like another guy that like sits on his shoulders.
He's got one of those stupid 90 Mohawk ponytails going. No, it'd be Kentaro, and he have like all these stupid tiger.
Good stuff.
Oh my god.
Okay, well, I think we're going to have like a weekly segment on Mortal Kombat Legacy until it's done.
I should come back each week just for that.
Yes.
Well, will that be done like 3 weeks or?
Let me see how many episodes. I think it's 10. Yeah. Nice round number. So it can only get better.
I mean, it'll be like a full length movie by the time they're done. So.
Yeah. And surely coming to Blu-ray near you.
Oh, yeah.
Netflix Direct.
You know, I noticed it actually has a TV rating. Did you see that? It's rated TV mature.
Yeah, so, and it was on the screen like the entire time.
Yeah, so exactly. So, I mean, are they trying? I mean, obviously, it'll either have to be late night or edited, in terms of like the expletives, but.
I mean, I could totally see Sci-Fi picking this up and just packaging it as a movie.
Or Spike.
Yeah,
probably shoehorned as an hour.
This is right out of Spike's alley.
Yeah.
Well, they did the whole G.I. Joe Resolute thing on Adult Swim where they just edit it together. That could be like a... Oh. Actually, I see that as like a cable channel type thing, like In Demand or something, where they're going to put it on that and they have to rate it.
Actually, this is a lot like G.I. Joe Resolute.
It kind of sounds like it.
Hey, what?
Okay, on that sobering note, that's New Soundwave for the week. Like I said,
and the worst thing you can say about G.I. Joe Resolute is that you watched it sober.
Yeah, the best thing you can say about Resolute is it's over.
It happened, and it's in the past. Okay, so that does it for New Soundwave this week. As I said, let's make this a weekly roundtable on Mortal Kombat Legacy, because this should be fun. We'll see where we take it. And then until then, everybody have a good week. Do check out tfradio.net for all your podcasting needs. Of course, RFC, the mothership, RFC Throwback, very, very periodically, New Soundwave, which you're listening to right now, Superhero Time, Fanboy Versus, so many others. I cannot name them all. You're going to have to just go to tfradio.net, download them twice, listen to them once, follow us on Twitter, find us on Facebook. And bless you for listening to us right now. So until next week, I'm John DeLuna. For the cast, Brian Kilby, our favorite XV, Rob Springer, and JD. JD, thank you for joining JD this week. Very nice. Very nice job producing, actually.
Yes. It was nothing, really.
Steering the ship. I am John DeLuna. We'll see you next week for New Soundwave. Adios.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Dweebum, with Rob Springer. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. Like the podcast? Tell your friends. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.